All right, we're going to start from Amar of Chistan, Chaf of Min Aleph, which is 2, 4, 6 lines down in the Gemara. So we have Amar of Chista, get shekadvo shelo lishma. So a get, which he originally wrote shelo lishma, and one of the requirements we know of get is that it should be written lishma. So his failure to write it lishma makes it a puzzle get. Then afterwards, vehevir alav kumus lishma. Then he comes back and writes over it again. He writes over it again, but this time lishma. So this the Gemara says, banu l'machloket Reb Yehuda v'Rabbanan. This is a machlokes between Reb Yehuda and the Rabbanan. This is a famous machlokes we've seen before. I'll point out just before we start, Tosfos on yesterday's daf pointed this out. Yesterday we said that kumus al gabi kumus is eno shum davar. I mean, if you take kumus with ink, dio, and you write dio again, that on Shabbos it's not anything, or maybe it's just chayav achat for mochek, but that's not considered to be a ksav the gabi Shabbos. If it's not ksav the gabi Shabbos, it shouldn't be ksav the gabi get. So how come over here, right, Rav Chista says as Davar Pashut that, you know, if you take a kumus lishma, that might be enough to create a new ksiva. So Tosfos differentiates between a dio al gabi dio, where qualitatively you have not changed the ksav at all. I mean that it was written, right, b'dio beforehand. It's written b'dio afterwards, and you haven't changed anything. As opposed to dio al gabi sikra, where you improve the quality of the letters, right? But over here, you actually are qualitatively changing the writing. Because before you had aktiva shelo lishma, and now you have aktiva lishma. So even though from the aspect of dio and dio, it's similar, you've done nothing, but with the tzad lishma, from the gavra side, since you've changed the qualitatively the writing, that actually will have a maisa. And possibly you could say even for Shabbos, it might be a maisa ktiva because now you've changed the status of the get through this ksiva. So that's how he differentiates between the case yesterday and the case today. So now, bonol machlokas of Yehuda v'Rabbanan, it's a famous machlokas, the Tanya. Harei shayat tzarich l'ktov et Hashem. He was up, he's writing a sefer Torah, he's up to the Shem Hashem, he's supposed to write the Shem Hashem. V'nich tkaven l'ktov Yehuda. And instead, he makes a mistake and thinks he's supposed to write Yehuda. So he's supposed to write the Shem Hashem, and he thinks he's writing Yehuda. Vita. So he makes a second mistake. Velo itil bo dalet. So he wrote Yehuda without a dalet. So by mistake, by having a double mistake, he ends up with the right thing, which is the Shem Hashem. Right? So mavir alav kumus umikadsho. So Rabbi Yehuda says that you can write over it, and then you can mekadesh the ksiva that way. That's not the way we want to write the Shem Hashem. Right? That's not the way we're Mekadesh, or the best way to be Mekadesh, the Shem Hashem. So the suggestion over here, according to Rav Chista, is this will be the same Machlokas by Get. When he's Mavir the Kumus, Lishma, can he change the status of the Get? Just like here, when he's Mavir Kumus on the Shem Hashem, can he change the status of the Shem to a Shem Lishma? And that's Machlokas of Yudon Rabbonon, and should that be applicable also by get. So Amar Rav Yachav Yaakov, Dilmalohi. Why do you have to, maybe it's not a comparable case. Ad kan lo kami rabbonon hotom. By the case of Sefer Torah, debi'ina zeke livan vehu. Over there, you need mitzad hidur mitzvah. You need to do a ksiva of Hashem Hashem lishma. Veleka. And that you don't have. Aval hocha, by a get. The lishma aspect is not an aspect of zeke livan vehu. It's not a hidur mitzvah aspect. It's rather, that's a requirement of the get. So now, maybe these two aren't comparable. Now, it's interesting, we'll just point out here, that the case of Zei Keli Anveu, generally, throughout Shas, when we say Zei Keli Anveu, when you talk about Hidr Mitzvah, you're talking about in the Heftza of the Mitzvah. When you're talking about Hidna Elefana, B'Talit Na'a, right? B'Suka Na'a, B'Shofar Na'a, it's talking about the Heftza of the Mitzvah, that you do something, you enhance the Heftza of the Mitzvah, you get a nicer lulav. Right, you make nicer tzitzis. That's the chepta of the mitzvah. Over here, right, there really is no necessarily chepta of mitzvah. Over here, it's the gavra. The fact that the gavra writes the Shem Hashem Lishma, right, actually enhances the writing. So here you have a hidur mitzvah, which is from the side of the gavra. That the gavra actually changes, qualitatively changes the mitzvah through his action or through his kavanah. So you see from here that hidur mitzvah has another aspect, not just the aspect of chefsa shel mitzvah, that you can be a hidur mitzvah, but also there can be a hidur mitzvah in the way that you conduct the mitzvah, the way you perform the mitzvah, you can have such a case of hider mitzvah ayudeha gavra. So it's interesting just to note here that they have such a case. I think I'll point out here it might be unique. Shem Hashem might be unique in this aspect of Zekeli Vanvehu, because if you take Pasha Pshat in the Pasuk, it's Zekeli Vanvehu. This is my God, and I will enhance him, meaning that this might be unique, that you have this idea of Hidr Mitzvah Gavra only by the Shem Hashem, because of the Pasuk literally means Zekeli Vanvehu, as opposed to other cases. Although, there are other cases which I've heard from Rav Sachs and from Usher Weiss, other instances, other proofs that we have such a concept of Hidr Mitzvah by the Gavra, by the Maisa HaGavra. But this is one of the good proofs for that. All right, so now, Amar Rav Chista, Yachilna the Mislino the Kula Gita Dama. Rav Chista says, I can passel all the Gitim in the world. Somebody wrote on my timer. What do you mean? What's the reasoning? Ilim Mishichtiv Bekatov. Because you have to write the get. Vahacha Ihi Kakotvale. And here the woman writes the get. What do you mean the woman writes the get? So this is a Takanas Chachamim that the woman pays for the sofer to write the get. Mishum Takanas Gunot. The woman pays the sofer, and she hires the sofer to write the get. So basically, the get belongs to her. The problem is that he, the husband, must give her the get from his possession. So if she's the one who hires the sofer, then he writes the get on her behalf, then how is she getting the get? It's her get to start with. So where it says the Dilma Aknuye Aknule Rabbonon, maybe the Rabbonon gave over the get to the husband. So what does that mean that Rabbanan gave over the get to the husband? So if you look in Rashi, Rashi says, Hahu Zuza Midido, she pays the schar of the sofer. Rabbi Kamandi Oivle Ihu, and the Rabbanan made it as if he paid the money. Right? The Hefker pays again, Aya Hefker. Right? Because the Hefker based in his Hefker. Now generally, we believe that Hefker based in Hefker is based in can remove your right of ownership. Right? But generally, we don't say that based in can give over your rights of ownership to someone else. Right, all Hefker Beis and Hefker says is that we remove your rights. But here you see from Rashi that Hefker Beis and Hefker can even work to take away your rights and give them to someone else. Because here they're taking away the possession of the woman and they're giving it to the man. So Rashi has a case here where Hefker Beis and Hefker works to actually change ownership, not simply remove ownership, which is an interesting usage of the Hefker Beis and Hefker concept. Right, so there we explained, right, we said there was a chiluk in the kinyan. Kinyan has two aspects to it. Kinyan has that the makna gives up ownership, and the kona takes ownership. So when we said hilkos ablo taima, we said that hilkos ablo taima was the makna giving up ownership. But the fact that the kona can take possession of it, it's fine. Once based in, hefker based in, then it's easy to understand how the other party takes ownership over here. Problem here is that, right, he's not. They're just transferring ownership without any kinyonim taking place here. It's just in, you know, out of thin air, it's happening. So that's an interesting concept that Hefker Beis and Hefker can actually change ownership, not simply remove ownership. Now, where it says Ella, so what's the problem here? Because the Mishum Dichtiv Vinatan, because it says the Kotav La Sefer Kritut Vinatana, right? You have to give it to her. V'hocha Loiv La Mide, and over here he's not giving her anything. So what does that mean? He's not giving her anything. So the Gemara's Havamina over here, which is an interesting Havamina, is that the get which he gives her must have value. Vinatan is a concept. The concept of nitina is that you have to give something that is the bar nitina, that has value, that is worthy of giving. So the Gemara thinks at this point that it has worth of giving, which means that it's a shove pruta. So maybe he would have to give her a get that had value of a shove pruta, and that hasn't happened. So maybe that's a failure in the vinatan. So Gemara says, well, Dilma nitina the geti. Who says Vinatan here means literally value that I'm transferring, but maybe it just means give the get? And he goes, Teda, and I can prove that to you. The Shochu Mitam Kadvo Al Isur Hana Kosher. If you write your get, if the husband writes a get on Isur Hana and then gives it to the woman, it's a kosher get. So you see that there has to be no value in which he gives her, because Isur Hana are valueless. And yet when he gives it to her, it's a kosher get. So must be that Vinatan means the get itself that he's giving, not that Natan in the concept of Nitina, meaning that you give something that is bar nitina. That's not the case here. It's referencing the Sefer Kritut. The Minatan means he gives the get to her. So that undermines Rav Chista's concept that he can be posel all the getin. Okay, Gufa. Now the Gemara is going to discuss this concept. Shochu mitam, they sent from there, katva al Yisrael not kosher. Amar Rav Ashi, Afanan Nami Tanina. We have a similar thing in our Mishnah. What? Al ha'aleh shel zayit. That you can write a get on an aleh shel zayit. So again, an aleh shel zayit, a leaf of a, you know, an olive tree, is worthless. So the fact that you can write the get on a worthless item shows you what, that it doesn't matter what you give it on. So why should it matter aleh zayit? Why should it matter isurei hana? Where it says, well, those two aren't necessarily comparable. Don't know shiny aleh shel zayit. Maybe a leaf is different. The chazidet terufe. Fine, it's not a aleh shel zayit has de minimis value, but that doesn't mean that it is not valuable. Meaning, because if you get enough of them, right, together, leaves together, you could get to a shavah pruta. It could create value. Whereas an yisurei hana can never have value. I mean, it's impossible for it to have value. So aleh zayit is the value is just so small that you're indifferent to it. But that doesn't mean it couldn't have value in a larger context, whereas Yisrael Ano do. So maybe that's our Mishnah, or that Bryce is not a proof. The fact that you wrote on Yisrael Ano is kosher, because Yisrael Ano is another step function where it's valueless and can never have value. All right, Tanya. Rabbi Omer Katval Yisrael Ano kosher. Rabbi said that if you wrote it on Yisrael Ano, it's kosher. Nafak Levi. All right, Levi went out. Darshim Yishmei the Rabbi. He said it out, you know, over in the name of Rabbi. Velo Kalsua. They didn't praise him, right? They didn't accept it. Mishmei Darabim. Then another time he went out, Levi, and he darshaned this same halacha, but he did it in the name of the Rabim now, Vikalsua. And then they praised him. So Alma Hilchasa Kavate. So we see from this that the halacha is like Rabbi, that if you write on Yisrael Noah, it's kosher. So what made it that the Alma Hilchasa Kavate? So Rashi says, by the fact that Levi went out of his way the next time that he gave over the halacha to say it, Mishmei Darabim, that Chazer Vetarachla, that tircha proves to us that the halacha is that way, because Levi exerted himself to do that. That shows us that that is the halacha. Tosfos, on the other hand, says no. The mere fact that kalsua is what determines that it's halacha. The fact that they praised the halacha when it was mishmei derabim, that makes the halacha that way. So is it because of Levi's effort, or is it because of the praise of the recipients that says us alma hilchos kavate, which is the machlokus between Rashi and Tosfos here? Right, Tanur Banan, vikatav, you must write a get, velo chakak, but you cannot engrave the get. Lememra, so the conclusion from this is the chakika lab ktivahi, that engraving is not considered writing. Viriminu, right, we have a braisa. Eved shiyotza biktav shal gabi tavlau pinkas. An eved who has a shtar shichrur that's written on a tavla, which is like on a piece of wood on a board, or a pinkas, on some sort of ledger. Right? Now this ledger, it seems that they didn't write with ink on it, but they carved or cut into this ledger. Yatza the chayrut. He goes out to Chayrut. So meaning that this is the proof, or this is the question in our Gemara. You see here that Chakika is a good Ktav for the Get Shichur of an Eved. Avalo, you can't use Ktav Shal Gabi Kippah. Can't use a Ktav on a Kippah. This is the Kippah, like what we have today is a Kippah, but the women used to wear it to cover their hair. The Kippah used to wear it, so if you wrote it on that, if they somehow placed it into this Kippah, right, that they engraved it or sewed it or stitched it into it. Ve'anduchteri, which is a tachshit, some sort of garment or jewelry that a woman wears, that they used to somehow sew in nice pictures onto it. So if you sew in the writing of the get into this embroidered, I would say the get, into this beged, that's not considered a ksiva. Nevertheless, you see from this, the chakika engraving is a fine ksiva. So Amar Luva, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Lo Kasha. There are two types of engraving, right? Ha dechak tochot, ha dechak yirechot. So you can engrave to create letters, or you can engrave to remove that which is not the letters, right? So chak tochot is a concept that comes up by Ksiva Sefer Torah, by Sefer Torah Mizot, by Stam. We have it in the Gemara in Shabbos, we have it in the Gemara in Menachos, which is that you're not allowed to write letters b'chak tochot. Meaning that if you have a block of ink, you can't go and erase the ink that should be the blank space, and what's left over is a letter. That's called chok tachut. Right, so that is not allowed, because there you're engraving the outside and leaving the letter sticking up or in the ink. That's not considered. That type of engraving is not considered ktiva. On the other hand, chak yirechot, where you actually carve the letter in, that is considered ktiva. So the Gemara question... Right, yes. So that the letter is bolet, is sticking up, versus it's the difference between the letter being shokea, right, is depressed into the item. That would be considered engraving, that's good. versus the letter that is bolet, that's sticking out, which is you engrave the outside and you leave the letter sticking out. That's chok tochot. That would be not a good ktiva. Then the Gemara says, v'tochot lo. Is it really true that chok tochot is not a ktiva? V'reminu. So this is talking about the tzitz. When you're talking about the tzitz, lo ya kotvo. When it says, when you say kodosh l'Hashem on the tzitz, you didn't write it on the tzitz. Shokea, you didn't write it, you know, engraved. Ela bolet, it would stick out. So that sounds like chok tochot, kidinere zahav, like coins. How do you create coins? How do you create the image on a coin? Right, the image on a coin is created by carving out the outside and leaving the image sticking up. So when it says vadinere zahav tochotain, that's exactly how you create. When you create coins, you do it by carving the outsides or depressing the outside and leaving the image sticking out. So if that's the case, then the tzitz is written in that way, and we know by the tzitz it requires ketivah, right? And if it requires ketivah, and it says over here that it works, like kidinere zahav. So Gemara answers up, no. Kidinere zahav, velo kidinere zahav. It's similar to a gold coin, but not totally similar. Kidinere zahav debolet. It's similar to a gold coin that the image shoots out, stands out. So just like the image in a gold coin stands out, so too the kodesh l'Hashem stood out. The low kidinere zahav, but it's not like a gold coin. The way it's created by a gold coin is by, right, cutting the outer image, carving the outer parts out and leaving the image present. Over here it was done by carving in. So how did they do that? How did they engrave the tzitz, right, and yet still have it be bolet on the other side? That's because the tzitz was on a very thin piece of gold. So you're able to go to the other side. If you go to the back side and carve on the back side, right, that is engraving inward, and it will leave it leaves an impression on the backside, but it shows a blita, right? It's projected on the outside. So that's considered a good ksiva. Right, exactly. So you have to carve it in from the back, and then that will leave it bolate, but you're doing the ksiva through an engraving process. So that's how, so we have a kosher, that's why it works. So again, the answer is that you can do engraving works for letters if you do chokirei chot, if you engrave the actual letters. If you engrave the outside of the letters and leave the letters sticking out, meaning that you leave them, right, projected out of the item, then they're not, that's not kosher ktiva. And by the tzitz, they did that projection of the letters by carving from the back side, because it was a thin. By coins, they're not thin enough to do that. By the tas of the tzitz, it was thin enough that they could engrave from the back side and do it that way. So now, right, so I was thinking that also when I learned that there are two things. Number one, it doesn't matter that you're writing on the other side, right, so that counts as ksiva for the front side. And number two, it doesn't matter, right, that you're writing the letter in the opposite direction, right, in order for it to come out. That would be the conclusion from this, yeah. All right, now the Gemara is going to question that underlying assumption that a coin is made through chok tochot. Is that really true? So this Gemara is going to ask a basic question. I'm going to review the Ravashi, Rushma. When you mold something, like a coin, when you mold a coin, is it michvat charitz uknufe machnif? Right? So if you look in Rashi, Rushma, chote matbea, when you coin a coin, right? Shakorin, and you see in Rashi, coins, right? When you make a coin, how do you do it? So you do it through a mold. You put pressure on you take the metal when it's heated, and you put it into a mold, and you place pressure on the mold onto the coin. So now the Gemara wants to know what's happening when you put pressure on the mold. Is it michvat zecharitz, meaning that, is it that the outsides, you're putting pressure on the areas outside of the image, by putting pressure on the areas outside the image, you leave the image at the same height, but the pressure on the outside depresses those areas and leaves the image? Or do we say knufei machnif, which means that in the mold, the image fills into the space, right? That is, meaning that the outside, the parts that are not the image stay the same, but the gold is pressured into where the mold has the image, and because of that, it creates the image. I mean, is the image created by the pressure into the mold, or is it created by the pressure on the external parts of the image that leave the image intact once you've wiped out the parts around the image? That's what the Gemara wants to do, and obviously the nafka mina is whether it's considered, right, chok tochot or not. What type of, is this ksiva or not? So, Eitvei, he asked him, Lo haya katvo shokea ela botlet. Right, we have by the tzitz. I'm sorry, he gave a conclusion. Sorry about that. Amalei michvat charitz. It's a chok tochot. He depresses the outside of the image, and that's how you create the image. The eighth phase, he challenged him from the same question we have by the tzitz. Lava katvo shokea ela botlet. By the tzitz, it was sticking out. Kedinerei Zahav. Now you just told me how are Dinerei Zahav created by doing Chok Tachot, by depressing outside of the image. That's the case. If they made the tzitz that way, why is that a kosher tzitz? Fabina Michtov. By tzitz, you need Ptuchei Chutam. You need to have it written. So why does that work? Velaka. And now it fails. So Gemara answers the same way again. Kedinerei Zahav. Velo Kedinerei Zahav. So like a gold coin and not like a gold coin. Kedinerei Zahav de Bolet. It's like a gold coin in a sack that the image is projected outward. Velo Kedinerei Zahav. Because it's created differently. Because over there by the tzitz, they did it from migavai on the inside. I mean, they engraved it from the other side of the tzitz, and that's why it works. By the coin, all the engraving is done from the same side. I mean, the depression of the areas outside the image are done from the same side as the image. And that's what the difference between them is. And that's why one of them is a kosher ktiva and one is not a kosher ktiva. Basically the same answer we gave in the previous gemara. Alright. Boy mine rova mi Rav Nachman. Right, this is an interesting case. Kotov la get al tas shel zahav. Gives her a get on a metal, on a gold plate. Right? The amar la, hit kabli kitech, vit kabli kutubatech. Mao. He says, this is both your get and your ksuba. I mean, this get's written on something of a lot of value. So I'm not only giving you a get here, but I'm also giving you the money that you deserve for your ksuba here. What's the din? So amar la, hit kabla gitav, hit kabla kutubata. So, Rav Nachman says it works. It's both her get and her ksuba. So Eitve, he challenges him for a price. Itkabli gitech bashar l'ktubatech. If he says, take this document, or like say the same thing here, like a gold plated get, you take this for your get, and whatever's left over should be for your ksuba. Right? Nitkabla gita bashar l'ktubata. She gets her get, and the remainder is l'ktubata. Taimo di ikashar. The only reason over there is because he's identifying the leftovers, right? Halekashar, lo, right? So that even if there was nothing left, but if there's nothing left over, then that's not the case. Meaning that there must be excess, much that which is an excess of the get. So only when he has excess of the get can we say that she both received the get and the ksuba. As opposed to where all he gave her was the gold plate with the get on it. In that instance, why should that satisfy the piron of the ksuba? That's what it sounds like from this brisa. Gemara says no. Huadin, afagav deleka shtar, ashar. Even though there is nothing left over, v'hakamash malan, that comes to teach us, afagav deika shtar, even if there's excess, I amrala in, I lo lo. That only if he mentions the excess, is it can be used for the value of the ksuba. If not, not. My taima, avira de migilto. Because if he doesn't specify the excess for the ksuba, what's the assumption? The assumption is that the excess is the margins of the get. Right, the gold plating that's around the get, or that which is in excess of the get, will be part of the margins of the get. So since that would be the stam assumption, if he says nothing, we assume it's all a get and nothing else. So then now, if he comes along and then makes specific reference to the margins, that which is in excess of the get to be a ksuba, that is sufficient or valid, and that will make it into a get, and that would be huadin if he just says, he doesn't have to say ashar, but he could just say the get and the is for you, your get and the ksuba, and whatever is the excess will automatically go towards the ksuba. So that will satisfy the ksuba. All right. Now, I'll just point out over here that when he says that take your get and take your ksuba, right, we saw before that when you give a get on Yisurei Hana, right, that it's kosher. So over here, why can't we say that he's giving her a get and the golden plate is a ksuba? Meaning that he's not, right, he's not, why can't that be a kosher get also? So Tosfos over here differentiates, and we're going to see this in the next case as well. Tosfos differentiates Mitzurei Hana, where he's actually giving her something. Even though it's valueless, the get is on something. There's actually something physical that he's giving to her. Whereas if he gives her the get, the gold plate, as her ksuba, then he's no longer giving her something that belongs to him. I mean, the get's not coming from him to her, it's her money. The ksuba's her money, and the get's going on her money, that doesn't work. So it has to be something physical that he's actually giving to her. So the fact that it would be her ksuba could be make it into a lack of get. And we're going to see this in the next case, this exact same case. Tanrabanan, hariza gitech v'anyar sheli. Says, this is your get, but the paper will remain mine. Einam gureshet. She's not divorced. So again, this would be the same differentiation Tosfos just made. Even though you can write a get on an Isur Hana, right, but there he's still giving her the Isur Hana. I mean, there's still something physical that's going. Whereas here, where he keeps the paper, Right? He's giving her nothing. As Rashi says, Rashi calls it otiot porchot ba'avir. The letters are floating in the right in the atmosphere. They're floating around, which is right minyan diyoma, right in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah by Rabbi Hanani ben Trajom. When they're burning him, he said, "What do you see?" Right, he says that he sees the Sefer Torah burning, but the otiot porchot ba'avir. So the letters are floating, meaning that there's nothing physical he's giving her. So the same differentiation we just made above, that he can't give her nothing. I mean, even though he's giving her, you know, handing her a get, but if there's nothing physical there that she's actually receiving, even if it's Nisar and all, that would work. But if it's nothing, it doesn't work. Now, the next case is Amanat Shetakziri Liyataniyar. On condition that you return me the get afterward, the paper afterwards, Harizem Gureshit, it works. Why? Because this is a Matana Amanat Lachzir. And Matana Amanat Lachzir works. It's a good Matana, and therefore she will be Migureshit. Now, Tosfos asks the basic question, does she have to give it back? And when she gets the get, in order for this to be a get, does she have to give it back? So Tosfos quotes a Gemara further on that the Gemara has two opinions as to how to make this get valid, or why this get is valid. So one opinion says that the get is valid and she does not need to return it. Why does she not need to return it? Because of a technical problem. That when he did the Tznai and Maise B'davar Echad, the Tznai is Batel. Because of the way he formulated the Tznai, that it's not a good Tznai. And since it's not a good Tznai, the Maise stands, the giving the get stands, and therefore the Tznai falls away. And she does not have to give the get back in order for it to be a valid get, because it's a valid get right away. The other opinion says no. When he says that Amanat, it means mi'achshav, because what's the problem? If she only becomes, the get only becomes valid when she gives back the get, then the get's not in her possession when it becomes valid. Right? Because it was only a matana if she fulfills the tnai of giving it back. Once she fulfills the tnai of giving it back, she doesn't have the get in her hand anymore. So how could she be divorced? So that opinion says, when you say Amanat, it means mi'achshav. That retroactively, when you give the get back, the matana becomes a matana from moment number one. And therefore, when he says, Me'achshav, you are divorced from that moment when you received the get originally, once you return it to me. So he's saying that that creates that retroactive ownership, that she can be divorced, even though right now it's on her possession, because when it was her possession, he had the term of Me'achshav. So those are the two opinions over there. So the general chakira in matana menachna haksir, you have to think about how does a matana menachna haksir work. I mean, does it... Matana Manat Nahaksir mean that it's not a matana until I return it. I mean, it only becomes a matana once I've returned it. Until that point, it was nothing. Retroactively, it becomes a matana. Or, do we say that it's a matana up front? If I don't fulfill the tnai, then I've been gneva. I'm over in gneva. I'm stealing because I haven't returned it to him. But I did get a matana up front. Right? Either case, right, you get the ownership from day one. Right? But the nafkaminos, again, are like cases like this, where we need her to actually have it in her possession of the ownership. So here, even though the matana worked on day one, right, the question is, when would it become her get? Right? If it only became valid get once she returns it to him, then it's no longer in her possession. So that would make a difference on how the matana amanat achsir works in this instance. But that is a general concept in matana amanat achsir. All right, now, Bayra Papa, ben shito lepshito ben teva leteva mai. Right? If he says, listen, you can have the get where it's written, but I'm going to keep possession of all the paper between the lines and between the letters. I mean, I'll keep all the blank space, and you take all the space, all the paper where it's written. So Gemara says, Teku. So Gemara says, what do you mean, Teku? But typically, the Sefer Echad Amar Rachman of Eloshnaim Ushlosh Sfarim. The Torah says, Katala Sefer Kritut. There's a single Sefer Kritut. Over here, you have dual ownership throughout the Sefer. It's multiple ownerships in the Sefer. It's multiple Sfarim. How could it be a good get? Lotzricha, the Gemara says, no, de mi'ura. Right, mi'ura is a concept also used by gidim. Mi'ura b'gidim, right, that it's covered or they're attached. Here, the letters touch each other. Since the letters touch each other, there is no blank space, meaning in the area where the ksivas haget is, there's no blank space down below or between them because they are all touching each other somehow. The letters are contacting each other. So the Tosfos over here brings from Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Mordechai, that he says he was medaktik from this Gemara. There's a requirement by Seistam, by Sefer Tovar Tefillin and Mezuzas, that every letter must be what's called mukaf gvil, mi'arba tzidel. It has to be white. It has to have cloth on all four sides of a letter. That's why a letter that gets attached is right there, touches another letter, is problematic. A letter that's written up against the end of a gvil all the way at the top is also problematic because it needs arba tzidel. So he says, from here, I can prove to you that a get does not require that. You do not require mukaf gil mi'arbitu da, because here you see that the letters can be attached. The Re rejects this. Re does not reject his halacha. He agrees. He says, the halacha, you don't need mukafet gvil mi'arbitu da, because that's only a din by stam. It's not a din by get. But he says, it's not a proof from here. Why? Because the letters over here can be like a chaf sofit, right, that goes down to the line below and sticking into a tet. So it's not physically touching the tet, but it goes into the airspace of the tet. Or you have a lamid that goes up into a chet or a hey, into the airspace of the chet or the hey. It's not that they're physically touching, but because the letters go into the airspace of each other, then there's no ben shita l'shita. Again, there's no space or between the rows or between the letters, because the letters are actually coming into each other's airspace. So you could still have mukaf gvil me'arbetzidea and still have this idea of mi'ura according to the Re. Right. He doesn't say that, but I assume that you would have to do it like the top of a resh, you know, going over a, right, sticking it over, right, building a roof over something else. You have to come up with these concepts. I agree with you. He only does with ben shita l'shita. Right. All right. Bar Yerami Bar Chama. Hayu muchzakim be'eved shu shelo. There was a chazaka that an eved belonged to him. The get katuva yado. Then he writes a get on, there's a get written to his wife on this eved's arm. Now this eved is found by her. She shows up and invades him with this eved that has a get written on his arm, and she says, my husband gave me the eved because, as we said in our Mishnah, you don't only have to, when he gives the get, he has to give the eved to the woman. Mao, what's the din here? Mi amrina naknuya akne la. Do we say that he was makna the eved to the woman? Odilma humi nafshe ayu. Maybe the eved walked over there by himself to the woman, and that's why he's doing over there. We have no eide misira here. Since we don't have any eide misira over here, can we believe the woman by the fact that the eved is in her possession right now? So Amar Rava, but typically the chtav sheyachol is dayefu. What do you mean? This is a type of writing that could be erased, right? And if it can be erased or forged, that's not valid writing. So how could you have writing on an eved? Let's go a priori. How could you even have a case where the eved is used for the get? An eved can't have ksiva on him, because when you write on him, it can be erasable, it can be changed. So why can that be a good get? So Gemara says, Ularova, based on Rava's question, Kasha Masnisim, what is he going to do with our Mishnah? Our Mishnah said, Al Yachel Eved, right, that you can write it on a Yachel Eved and give the eved. So Gemara says, Bishlama Masnisim, the Rava Lokasha. Our Mishnah is not a question by Rava, because the Eide Misira. Our Mishnah is a case where there were Eide Misira, Verbalazar he. And that's according to Rabbi Lazar. Why? So what does Eide Misira do? Because we said yesterday, right, that the Eide Misira must read it. That's what Rashi says. Karu, they read it. So since they read it, they can't change it afterwards, because Eide Misira know what was in the get. Right? We assume once they've read it, they know what's in there, so we don't worry about these dayif after that. El Rami Bar Chama Kasha, according to Rabbi Chama. So why don't we say by Rami Chama also there's Eide Misira? Well, if there's Eide Misira, we wouldn't have a question over here. The whole question is, how did the Eved get into her possession? Because the Eved walked there, or because the husband gave it to her? If we had Eide Misira, we'd know that the husband gave it to her. So there can't be a case of Eide Misira over here. So Gemara says, Rami Chama Nami Lokasha. That's not a problem. Biktovet Kaka. They tattooed it into the Eved. So that's a Ktav She'enu Yacholiz Dayef. So since it can't be changed, that's a good Ktav for the Sefer Kritut. Where it says, Hashad Ati L'Chalchi, yeah, you got such a good answer. Masnisanami Lo Tikshe, you can answer the same thing for a Mishnah, Bik Tovet Kaka, that it's written a tattooed into the arm, so the sense that it cannot be changed. Tosos deals with this a little bit. He says, maybe there's only an Issa Derabon in here, because this is not real Ktovet Kaka. And in the end, Tosos concludes, which is a very interesting conclusion, Tosos concludes that even if this is an Issa Doraisa, that he wrote the Ktovet Kaka over there, it still would be a valid get. So what's interesting about the Tosfos here is we don't say this is a mitzvah haba be'aveira, right? When you have a shofar, a lulav that's stolen, right, that's done, which has an aveira that's performed to do the mitzvah, we say that's mitzvah haba be'aveira. Over here we don't say mitzvah haba be'aveira. So what you have to say is that this is a different category, because a get, whereas giving a get might be a mitzvah, but writing of the get is a hechsher mitzvah. So possibly, since it's a different category of mitzvah, of hechsher mitzvah, maybe that's, that fact allows you to not have the problem of a mitzvah hababa avera. But Tosfos is willing to entertain the fact that he wrote Tovis Kaka on the arm over an Issa Doraisa, and it's still a valid get. Now the Gemara wants to know, what's the halacha in this case with this woman? Does the Eved, do we assume the Eved belongs to her now and it's a good get, or we say no, that the Eved still is memuchzak with the husband? Tashma, Amar Reish Lakish, Gaudrot, Ein Lahem Chazaka. Gaudrot are animals that wander. Animals that wander do not have a chazaka. What does that mean, they don't have a chazaka? That means if you show up, if a person shows up and says, hey, look, the animal's in my possession, I bought it from the owner, he's not believed. Just because it's in his possession, that does not necessarily make it into a valid chazaka. Why? Because these animals naturally wander. They naturally wander. You can't assume that it's in his possession because he bought it. It might be in his possession because they wandered over there. But after 3 years, they can have a chazaka if it's there for 3 years. But we're talking about here an immediate chazaka of adverse possession, where he has, just because he has possession, it does not mean that it belongs to him because they wander. So same thing over here. An Eved has the ability to move around by himself, and just because it's in the woman's possession over here doesn't mean that it belongs to her. So now, Bayrami Barchama, Hayu Mukhzakim B'Tavla Shishila. We have a tavla board that we know belongs to her. The get katuvala, and there's a get written on this board, Vaharihi Yotzea Mitachet Yado. And now it's in the possession of the husband. Mahu, what do we think of this get? Mi Amrinan Aknuya Aknitele. Do we say that the woman was maknia the daf to the husband? So now it'll be a kosher get when the husband gives it back to her. O Dilma lo yadala aknuye. Maybe a woman doesn't know how to make a kinyan. What do you mean? A woman doesn't know how to make a kinyan? We don't have that anywhere in Shas. Katan is not a bar makne. But where do we ever see a woman can't be makne something? So Tosfos over here says, because of the unusual circumstances over here, she knows she's going to get it back, right? She knows she's getting this daf back, she's getting this get back. So she might give it the derech sheila. She might just be lending it. In her mind, she might be thinking she's lending it to the husband and not giving it to the husband. So we're not afraid. Right. Well, no, it should be a matana. If it was a matana menachtaxir, then it would be fine. The problem is that she might think it's just lending. So matana menachtaxir. Matana menachtaxir would work. Lending will not work. So that's the problem, right? So that's where we're afraid. We're afraid she doesn't, that because of this nuance that she... Right. That we have a similar case. The Gemara in Bechoros has a case like this. Bechoros, the Gemara over there says that when you pay Pidyon HaBen to the Kohen can give the money back to the father afterwards. So there the Gemara brings a case by a Kohen where the father gave the money to the Kohen, and then the father hung around and waited by the Kohen, looking for the money back. So after the Kohen says to him, right, that it was an Amora, he says to him, he goes, Lo padita et bincha, you didn't do a Pidyon HaBen. Because you expected this back, it's clear that you were not makneh to me with a full heart. Right, because you really expect that you're waiting around for me to give it back to you. If that's the case, then you didn't really give it. Right, so the same thing over here. If this woman is really expecting, right, the item back, she's not giving it for real. She just, you know, I'm getting it back. So she's like, yeah, right, take it for a little bit, you'll give it back to me. She doesn't think she's really giving it to him in the sense that she's makne it to him. So that's what the failure of the problem is over here. So Rabbi Bai says, let us solve it. Tashma, afu eid akfar katan. Right, this is talking about Yehuda ben Bova in Masechet Ediot, that he was made on a small city. Shai b'tzad Yerushalayim is outside Yerushalayim. Vayu bo zaken echad. There was one elder statesman there. Vayah malveh l'chol b'nei akfar. He lent money to everybody in the city. V'koyotei b'ktav yado. And he used to write it in his own handwriting. V'acherim chotmim. And other people would sign it. So what's the problem with that? Ba'ma said l'fnei chachamim yakshiru. And the chachamim said, no problem. Those are good documents. Those are good shtarei halva. V'amai, why are they good story of all? V'habi inan sefer makneh. So we need it to come from the sefer makneh, from the one who is makneh, giving over, right? And the person who's giving over the object. And over here, that's the loveh. The loveh is indebting himself. He's the one that's creating the encumbrance. So the loveh should be the one who writes the document. So why is it here? The malveh can write the document, have it signed, and it's a valid document. So you see, what's the underlying assumption? Right? Elalav mishum darmina aknuye maknelu. We assume that the malveh, the zaken, was makne, right, the documents to the lovim, and therefore the lovim had possession of it, and that's why it's a good star over here, or a good star of all. So amarovo my kushya. Why is this a valid question? Dilma, right, zaken shiny the other aknuye. You're dealing with a zaken, you're dealing with an elder statesman, you're dealing with someone who is well versed in halacha. Someone who's well versed in halacha will know that difference between she'ela and makne. So he knew to be makne to them. But maybe over here, when you're dealing with a woman who doesn't know that nuance in halacha, maybe that won't be sufficient. Right? We'll stop here. The Gemara will continue to try to bring proofs about what to do with this tomorrow. I'll point out just one thing by Tosfos. Tosfos mentions over here that what type of shtar we're dealing with. By how can you compare a shtar get to a shtar halva? Right? We said this earlier in Perek Rishon that a get and a shtar chiyuv are where the shtar itself makes the kinyan. Over here, when you're talking about shtar halva, it's just a shtar lirayo. If it's a shtar lirayo, how can you bring a proof from a shtar rayo to a shtar get? It's a totally different category. So Tosos over here comes up with a crazy case, and he says that this Zokain, because he was lending everybody in the city money, everybody liked him, so they used to sell him property all over the city. And when they sold him the property, he used to write these documents again for himself, and write them themselves and have them sign on them. So that's what the Gemara's question is. Those documents, when he bought the property, where these are Shtarei Chiyuv, Shtarei Kinyon, how come there he could do it? And that would be comparable to Shtar Get. So Tosos creates that Ukimto to deal with the difference between Shtar Rayo and Shtar Get or Shtar Chiyuv. All right, we'll stop there.